I've spent much of my career meeting men and women called terrorists in the West. It used to be said that one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. But after 9/11, that seemed to change.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
Western politicians list dozens of terrorist organizations. I'll be breaking bread with those labeled terrorists by the West and ask, when does a man have the right to fight without being called a terrorist? An island shattered by a quarter of a century of conflict.
Fire!
I travel to the front line of what the Sri Lankan government calls its war on terror.
Yeah. There.
Terrorism, whether in Sri Lanka or in Washington or in London or somewhere else, is terrorism.
The president says he's fighting a just war against the world's most brutal terrorist organization, the Tamil Tigers. They say they are fighting for the freedom of Sri Lanka's Tamils and that the real source of the terror is the state itself.
The journalists can't speak, they can't write, the parliamentarians can't open their mouth, anybody can arrest at any time. So what sort of situation we are having when we are talking about terrorism? There's a pure state terrorism going on.
I discover how the use and abuse of the word terrorism is influencing an ethnic conflict that has left at least 70,000 dead. I've come to an event over 8,000 kilometers from Sri Lanka in London. Tamils living in Britain have gathered to celebrate the sacrifice of men and women they regard as national heroes, fighters from the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, or LTTE, who have lost their lives in battle. The LTTE is popularly known as the Tamil Tigers. They believe they must fight for a separate Tamil homeland within the island of Sri Lanka. The Tamils are mostly Hindu and make up about 15% of the population of Sri Lanka. Many claim they are the victims of discrimination and say the government tries to curb their language and culture. Communal tensions exploded in 1983. Nearly 1,000 Tamils were murdered and tens of thousands lost their homes. The riots were triggered by the killing of 13 Sri Lankan soldiers by the recently formed Tamil Tigers. While most in this hall support the LTTE, it is illegal to admit that in Britain. They are not allowed to donate money, and British law requires that the faces of dead guerrillas are blacked out. Why? Because the Tamil Tigers are listed as a terrorist organization in more than 20 countries, including the UK.
All of a sudden, now without any sort of clarity, they branded all the organization, whoever they are fighting for freedom or whatever it may be, they branded, they are terrorists.
The Sri Lankan government has adopted the same language to describe its conflict with the Tamil Tigers that the West has used since 9/11 for its war on terror.
George Bush said in 2001, you're either with us or with the terrorists. Do you think that's a sentiment that can be applied to the people of Sri Lanka?
It applies to Sri Lanka too. I mean, it can't be applied to one country and not applying to the other country.
I'm going back to Sri Lanka to find out how the West's war on terror is affecting this ethnic conflict, one that I have reported on for many years. The main ethnic group in Sri Lanka are the Sinhalese. They are mostly Buddhist and make up more than 70% of the population. After independence from British rule, the Sinhalese gave a greater emphasis to their culture. Many are also suspicious of the links that Sri Lanka's Tamils have with a large Tamil population in nearby India. There have been thousands of civilian deaths from bombs planted by the Tamil Tigers. They were the first modern insurgency to use suicide bombers. Their strikes have been so effective that their methods have been copied by militants elsewhere. The Tigers want an independent state called Tamil Eelam in districts where Tamils have traditional roots. For a generation, they've controlled territory in these areas, but recent defeats have driven them into the jungles around Mullaitivu. I went to Mannar, a Tamil-dominated province, to discover what's happened on the battlefield. The government has spent billions of dollars to strengthen its army in order to crush the Tigers and reclaim territory. I joined one of their units as it moved north.
Well, it's early in the morning now and we're heading up to the front line. We have to be in this armored vehicle because the army isn't sure that there haven't been mines laid overnight, or indeed there aren't still snipers hiding in the trees.
From early 2008, the Tigers have been losing ground rapidly. We passed rows of empty trenches, defensive positions that the Tigers had abandoned. Most of the buildings had been damaged by shelling. In the past, I have crossed the no man's land that separates the two sides. But since this assault began, it has been impossible.
They've got their gun positions in that, have they?
Beyond that.
Fire!
Yeah.
There. Seemed like a direct hit.
Yeah.
Troops led by Colonel Suminder Jayasundara captured a Tiger naval base in a town that had been in rebel hands for a generation.
He stepped into this area after, you know, 18 years of...
18 years of control with him, yeah.
We felt like, you know, we have won the war.
The colonel took me to a graveyard for LTT fighters.
And this cemetery looks huge. I mean, there are thousands here, aren't there? And they're all soldiers. Are they all Tigers, or indeed terrorists, of course?
Yes, all terrorists.
As you say, all terrorists who died in action.
Yes.
This wasn't just a Tamil Tiger military base. It's a town with houses and a school. But there was no one to be seen.
All the people have gone. I mean, the people who lived here,
Those people have been, you know, taken forcibly by the LTT.
So when they retreat, you mean?
Yes.
They take the population with them.
Yeah, these posters have been put up in order to indoctrinate the school children. And this is to brainwash them in order to get them into their side.
Yeah, yeah. The suggestion over there, of course, the Tamils in Sri Lanka live behind barbed wire, isn't it?
It's not really. This is, you know, something that they won't, you know, tell the world that, you know, people are behind the barbed wires. But in reality, it is not so.
The Tigers say the Tamil population is fleeing in fear from the army. Since the recent fighting began, hundreds of thousands of Tamils have retreated alongside the fighters into areas that are cut off from the outside world. I was taken to a camp that the army says provides shelter for 500 Tamils. Colonel Suminder told me that these refugees are not prisoners, but have fled from areas controlled by the Tamil Tigers. This woman has been at the camp for months and has no idea when she'll be able to leave. As she fled the battlefield, she was separated from her husband.
Our house was hit by a fighter jet. We have nothing left, just the clothes on our backs.
She pleaded with the soldiers to be allowed to take her son to a relative's house in Colombo. With barbed wire and armed guards, this resembled more a prison than a refugee camp.
Do the Tigers try to prevent you?
It was difficult to communicate. Most Sinhalese, including the colonel, don't speak Tamil, and many Tamils don't speak Sinhalese. This man admitted that one of his relatives was a guerrilla.
The Tigers are calling on everyone to give up one child to join them. Then they are trained so they can go to the battlefield.
The requirement that each family provides a fighter makes it difficult for the army to separate the guerrillas from the civilians. A task made even harder when most Tamils see the Sri Lankan army, which is almost exclusively Sinhalese, as an occupation force. In Tamil areas that are fully under government control, there are frequent checkpoints. The government is trying to ensure that defeated guerrillas don't slip out of uniform and merge with the people. There is now the prospect of a different war, a full-scale insurgency, rather than a conventional conflict. The government says it can separate the people from the guerrillas. Tamil politicians disagree.
Even if the government takes much more territory, the government can hoist their flag. But the liberation struggle will continue. The LTT is having the armory and the capacity to take forward this struggle as a guerrilla organization for another 50 years.
Suicide bombers might come here, but they might try. But one thing I'm sure, that if you defeat the terrorism from north, the people, they appreciate what we are doing. They want us, our armies, to come in. So the people will settle themselves and they will come to the mainstream.
I first met Mahinda Rajapaksa long before he became president. 2 decades ago, he had a very different role. At that time, I witnessed events on Sri Lanka's idyllic coastline that I will never forget.
We saw in front of us a pickup truck. A man was seated there and his face was completely covered.
I'll see if there are any parallels between what was happening then and what's happening now. I first reported from Sri Lanka long before the West began listing terrorist organizations. I'm traveling south from the capital, Colombo. I followed this route 2 decades ago when the government was facing a very different rebellion. The south is poor and rural, and there are hardly any Tamils here. At that time, the rebellion was led not by Tamils, but Sinhalese nationalists. The People's Liberation Front, or JVP, was fiercely patriotic, but also revolutionary. It demanded the overthrow of the state. Under its leader, Rahana Wijevira, the JVP assassinated policemen and government officials. A bomb planted by the JVP exploded at a political meeting a few meters from me. One man died. The JVP exploited the fears of the Sinhalese in the south. They accused the government of making too many concessions to the Tamils and their allies in India. But it was not the violence of the JVP that brought me here. It was the government's response, a counterinsurgency that I found brutal and shocking. What I witnessed then remains vivid today.
There was a curfew overnight, and I used to awake to the smell, the acrid smell of burning rubber. And in the beach just behind me, I remember finding a boat stuffed with the bodies of young men with tires around their necks, and they were still smoldering, having been set alight overnight. It was a deliberate message by the government to say, this is what is going to happen to any of your brothers and sisters or children who are challenging the authority of this government.
At least 40,000 disappeared. Members of the Sri Lankan army and police were accused of most of the abductions. People were arrested and never heard from again.
Oh, Bowen.
I returned to see a woman whose son was taken 20 years ago and never came back.
Thank you.
What do you remember of the day he disappeared?
The ones who took him away were in police uniform. The bus that took him was parked at Beliata police station. But when we went to the police station to ask, they said they had no idea where my son was.
She has no picture of her son, just a certificate that says the cause of death is unknown.
We don't know anything about the death, how he died. We only know that he was taken away in a vehicle. We don't know anything else. I spend my time now in sorrow.
No senior police or army officer or politician has been found accountable for the mass killings, even though most mothers and wives know the men responsible for the death of their loved ones. At that time, people in the South were fearful and silent, but one local human rights lawyer was brave enough to speak openly. It was none other than today's president, Mahinda Rajapaksa. People came to his house with photographs of their missing relatives.
They started arresting people. Thousands, whole village were taken sometimes. People are, after they arrest them, they are disappeared.
The government of the time even attacked his house.
The police, they threw bombs at my place, grenades. They terrorized the whole area.
Well, I remember I was concerned for your life.
Quite. You gave me the warning.
I warned you not to, yeah.
That's right. Otherwise, I would have gone there and gone to that village. They would have just killed me.
It was the president who, back then, arranged for me to meet gunmen from the JVP. He shared with them the fears that fuel Sinhalese chauvinism.
Indians are going to occupy this land. They are going to take over this land. And already they have 100,000 soldiers in this country. And our fear is that they might come to down south and they might occupy this area. What will happen to us? And we will be another part of India.
Mahinda said these were patriotic boys who defended the Sinhalese people when the government was selling out to India. They certainly weren't terrorists.
That time they never called them terrorists. They always used the word of insurgents.
So the language has changed.
Language has changed. This is what the different is. They call them insurgents. They never call them terrorists.
But you did understand the reasons why they took up a gun.
I was not sympathizing the cause. I was sympathizing with them the way that the government handled. I believe in it, even today, that I can't be a terrorist. The government cannot be a terrorist. We can't act like terrorists.
But the allegation of state terrorism is now being made by Tamils and Sinhalese who oppose the war against his government.
The disappearances of the late 1980s introduced a culture of impunity into Sri Lankan politics. Murder and abduction almost became an acceptable tool of the state's counterinsurgency policy.
Once again, mothers and wives are coming forward with stories of missing loved ones.
The music teacher who lives across the street saw it. He said my husband was bundled away in a red van.
4 months after her wedding, this woman's husband disappeared. She fears for her life, and we've concealed her identity. The army had earlier accused her husband, a van driver, of delivering supplies into tiger-controlled areas.
As soon as I heard about his disappearance, I went to the army camp and made inquiries. Only then did they say they would start a search.
She has heard nothing since from the authorities. Anyone accused of links to the fight for a Tamil homeland is a potential target, even aid workers.
7 of my co-workers were abducted and executed. Tortured, raped one woman and 7-6 men by paramilitary forces aligned to the government. And everybody was afraid to speak. I mean, over the last 2 years, there's been about 2,500 disappearances of Tamils. Bodies are just found on the side of the road. Tamils with their hands bound and signs of torture.
There are checkpoints throughout the capital, Colombo. They're intended to detect Tamil tigers infiltrating from the north. But the controls have instilled fear amongst the 300,000 Tamils living in the city. Critics of the government have been silenced. to oppose the war is seen as an act of treachery.
Journalists can't speak, they can't write, the parliamentarians can't open their mouth, anybody can arrest at any time, the business people can't live, they can be abducted, millions can be taken. By whom? By the armed forces. By the paramilitary groups working with the armed forces.
Does it disappoint you that some of the human rights groups now are making the same allegations against your government? That
yes, I'm very disappointed with them, you know. Most of these people are paid agents.
Of the human rights groups?
Some of the human rights groups here. And some, of course, is misled by the propaganda of the LTT. I have given clear instructions to the army, the forces, and the police that they can't take a man without a warrant.
After this president comes to power, within the last 3 years, four of our parliamentarians were killed or murdered by this regime, I will say. I am advised by so many people, don't criticize the government. As a parliamentarian, don't I have the right to speak? But I am having the fear within myself.
A military victory over the Tamil Tigers will not end the grievances and hatreds that made thousands of Tamils pick up a gun 3 decades ago. Suresh fought for a Tamil homeland in the 1980s. He then gave up the gun and tried to defend the rights of Sri Lanka's Tamils within the democratic system.
I surrendered the weapons. We joined the so-called democratic mainstream. Now I am totally fed up. I am totally frustrated. Why the hell I have to be in this parliament, risking my life? If I am alone and suppressed by so many forces, what can I do? You want me to get killed? You want me to die? You want me to perish all my community? What can I do? Tell me the alternative.
But to pick up a gun.
The Sri Lankan government wants to extinguish the idea of an independent Tamil homeland. History has shown, though, that ideas are not usually defeated on a battlefield. The Sri Lankan government has used the language of the global war on terror to try to sanction its brutality. And in doing so, it has proudly claimed to be an ally of the West in fighting a shared enemy, terrorism.